Very well, thank you. I've been up since 3 a.m., actually.
Have you been working, or...?
Well, I just got back from a tour with Fast and Bulbous a couple of days ago.
Right.
So I'm sort of still on Slovenian time. That was our last date, was in Ljubljana, Slovenia.
And how did that go?
Good, good. It was terrific. Very well received. We were, every night was multiple encores and packed and sold out. Except Switzerland. The Swiss were very reserved.
Really?
But everywhere else, they went nuts.
Huh. Interesting. Well, that's always, it's interesting, I bet, to make those little notations.
Yeah.
During your
note
tour.
Note to self. Stay out of Switzerland.
Don't go back to Switzerland.
Austria was through the roof, so go figure.
It's strange.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it, makes it all worthwhile. I have to admit, when hearing your sounds, over and over, and now, the reason I really wanted to chat with you was about these Volume 1 and Volume 2, the history of the Micros.
Mm-hmm.
Hot stuff.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a, I've listened before, but this is more of now I'm like surrounding myself with your music for a little bit. And I gotta say, I'm not surprised that you're a big, your sound is a big hit overseas, over in Europe. It's just such a classy sound.
Well, this is, what I'm talking about was a totally different band. It's the Fast and Bulbous band doing the music of Captain Beefheart.
Oh, that's incredibly different.
With Gary Lucas. That was what I was touring with.
Oh, okay.
Then I came back here to start up the Micros part of my trip.
Wow.
And I was intending to go back to Europe with the Micros, but some organizational things happened, and we had to postpone it until next year.
Oh,
so
I see.
We're just doing the gigs in the States here now.
Okay, I see. I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay.
I was a little
confusing. I'm confused myself, but I just came back and, in one day, switched gears from Fast and Bulbous to the Microscopic Septet.
Fast and Bulbous, I really have to dig into that a little bit now, too. Captain Beefheart's tunes, huh?
Beefheart. It's my arrangements of the music of Captain Beefheart for a different septet, but four horns and guitar, bass, and drums.
Oh, nice.
It actually shares a couple of the personnel from the Micros, but the music is totally different. It's like a rock band, or sort of a mixture of rock and jazz.
All right.
We'll say it's sort of like, sounds like a marching band playing Trout Mask Replica.
Wow, that's an interesting mixture.
That's a cool record. It's the record is called Pork Chop Blue Around the Rind. It's also in Cuneiform.
Ah, very good. Well, there's something for me to dig on in the future.
Cool.
But these albums that I'm listening to now, History of the Micros 1 and 2, Volumes 1 and 2, man,
mm-hmm.
I can't seem to put them down right now.
And thanks, that's so nice.
Yeah, and I've been finding ones that fit the sets on my show, and chucking a few in there now and then, and really trying to include them as often as possible.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I just can't imagine live how cool you guys are. I bet it's. I just take me through like a live show. What could I expect? I've never seen you live, so if I were to walk in the door, not knowing who you are, even let's say.
Mm-hmm.
What am I looking forward to?
Well, it's a very fun band to see live, so I think you'd have a very good time. When we used to play in New York in the 80s, in addition to playing at jazz clubs, we used to play at quite a few rock clubs. We played at Danceteria and CBGB's and the Mud Club and the Peppermint Lounge, and we were able to reach a whole different audience, partially because the group has a kind of theatrical element that isn't really planned out exactly. It's just a natural expression of the people in the band.
Sure.
So it's very performance oriented, and it's very fun, very kind of rhythmic and danceable.
With
the relationship to older styles, not just swing jazz, but tango and R&B and polka, you name it.
Yeah.
So it's a very fun band to see. It's got a lot of humor and good feeling about it, because the people in the band love it and love to play and show that on stage.
It shows. So, it shows on the albums.
Cool.
Also, I think even the slower sounding songs uh-huh. or make you feel light. I don't know. It takes you. I don't know. I can envision you guys up there playing it, and that makes me. Cool. You know, and that kind of makes me happy because I can.
Well, people
I can
used
feel
to say that we were a jazz band for people who didn't like jazz. You know, people who are put off by the kind of somberness and seriousness that has become associated with jazz as an art music rather than a popular music.
Right.
We don't do that.
It's so different. If I don't, I couldn't categorize you as jazz. You know, you have some jazzy elements for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But geez, I like to put you on that genre unknown level.
That's us.
Yeah. That's what I.
That sort of dogged us all our career, and all of my own music, I think, falls into that unknown category, especially my record, The Unknown.
Well, there you go. That's what attracted me to your sound for sure. Is
thanks.
Boy, these guys can do it all. I like versatility. And
well, cool.
I just got back. I saw the David Grisman Band live.
Mm-hmm.
And,
far out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I got an opportunity to chat with Mr. Grisman as well. And he, you know, he doesn't have a set list.
Mm-hmm.
They've played with each other for so long, and he just kind of gives them little hints to what they're going to be playing next.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you guys go in with a set list?
Oh, absolutely. Well, at this point, you know, I mean, we're playing together for the first time in quite a few years.
Yeah.
And we play from charts and stuff. We haven't had the success of a Dave Grisman that's allowed us to continue playing. So this being a reunion band, we're definitely working from set lists and written music. But there's still a great element of spontaneity to it in spite of that. In our heyday, we used to always play from charts, but the reason for that was that we were always playing regularly and always working on new music. So at the time we stopped doing it, I think we had about 180 original tunes in our book.
Wow.
So we needed charts just to remember them all, because we had been doing it for 12 years.
Yeah, you guys were really happening for a dozen years or so, right?
Well, we had our moments.
You know, you had at the Knitting Factory, which is still a happening spot for experimental type music and wild music for sure.
Yeah, I think the Knitting Factory is really more of a rock club now.
Yeah, it's rocking, but they have some a little funkier side going too.
Hmm.
It's pretty
I'm
interesting.
Not really that familiar with what's going on there now, but at the beginning when the Knitting Factory was in its original location, we used to play there quite a bit. But by the time the Knitting Factory came around, we had already been playing for quite a few years. So it's funny, a lot of people associate us with the Knitting Factory and the so-called downtown scene, of which many of those people, John Zorn, Wayne Horvitz, Bobby Previtt, who all played in the Micros at various points, those were our peers. But we had been doing it for quite a few years before the Knitting Factory came along.
Interesting. Oh, Bobby Previtt played with you folks, huh?
People used to, when we needed subs,
yeah,
we drew upon our group of people that we came up with, our friends, and that included Bobby Previtt, Kevin Norton played with us, tons of people, Roy Nathanson, Mike Hashem, Wayne played sometimes, his brother Bill, the guitarist. Played with us sometimes. It was usually the same people, but if someone needed to sub out for a gig, we drew upon our peer group.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I just happened to do a little marketing merchandise for Bobby up in Northampton a couple weeks back.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a cool cat. And Skerrick was there playing the sax. The whole thing was strange. And so you guys are going to be Iron Horse Cafe, I believe it is.
Yes. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. That's going to be an interesting venue.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
I think it's a perfect place for your sound.
You know, that's what someone else said. I'm not that familiar with it, but people said that it would be a good place for us. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be the first date of our tour, so we're really excited about it.
Yeah. No, I think plenty of people should be excited about it as well, and I'm hoping there's a huge turnout and a lot. There's going to be a lot of happy people, whoever's in there.
Cool. Well, I hope so too.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to get up there and check it out, and maybe I'll bump into you if I do.
Please come and say hello if you come.
Yeah, I shall. I shall. And I want to thank you for just a little bit of your time, but I want people to know that the history of the Micros, Volume 1 and Volume 2, It's the real thing to have for your collection.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to me.
You have a great
day. And I'll see you at the gig.
I hope so.
All right.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.